everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 275. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined today by the Alan, Saga, and Casey of L.A., Jesse, Alex, and Crendor, even though Crendor is in Chicago, not L.A.
Hold on. All right, so because it's already night where Crendor is, he's clearly Alan Wake. He's in the dark place.
Man, sure. You give Crendor the ability to write like fascinating crime fiction. You think he can do it?
I always said I'm like Alan Wake.
Yeah,
it's done. Yeah.
I really have.
And just like Alan Wake, he can't write his way out of the dark place. He's it's stuck in there.
Yeah, just like Alan Wake, he loves chicken kebabs.
Mm-hmm. Love chicken kebabs, dude.
Fasciani, I think is Casey for sure.
I was going that way
too. He's hard boiled.
Yeah, he'd play a good heart. He's basically Max Payne.
The thought occurred to me, did they dub the entire game just because Sam Lake has a thick Swedish accent? I'm not sure, but signs point to yes.
Right. And I'm Saga, and that I definitely have multiple red string boards in my home.
and a really comfy sweater.
Every time you figure it out, you just say the most obvious thing.
Right, but then I go talk to the deer head, and it's like, four more. I'm like, what do you want from me, deer head? Yeah.
All right, I'm glad we figured everything out.
That's for the Alan Wake 2 fans out there. Other than that, you have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I've never played Alan Wake in my life.
The game has been out for one entire year, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, somewhere around.
How fucked up is that?
It's called time, dude. As you know, quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
It feels like it came out literally 1 month ago. I
phenomenal.
That's because the last DLC came out literally 1 month ago.
So. Yeah, it feels like true. For some reason everybody was talking about Alan Wake just 1 month ago, and I can't figure out why.
That's
what today's episode is about.
Yeah.
If you want to know more, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod, where I will fucking rattle the fucking windows to find out where the fuck I was hearing about Alan Wake 1 month ago. It is vexing me. It is not a lake. It is an ocean. Alan Wake is here. I'm trying to do his like fucking weird way of reading.
Yeah, you're trying to do it. I know you're trying to do a thing.
Yeah. I can't Wake, like,
you know, it's pretty good.
I can't do that off the dome.
No. It's a unique way.
I don't know what he's supposed to sound like.
My favorite.
Good.
So for those of you who have never played Alan Wake, it's a very like fourth wall breaking kind of meta game, but also it has some really great, you know, story and like mystery. And anyway, the most recent expansion had one of my favorite things in the world. Basically, the subtext, I'm not going to spoil what the expansion is, but the subtext of what the expansion is literally a look at AI in art.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the best things about it is that there are two characters. One is like, I want to find what art is. What is art? How does art work? What qualifies as art? And there's in fact in the game a whiteboard that has a bunch of different possibilities for what art could be. It's very funny. And then another character is like, what if we, because Alan Wake is a writer, what if we just get a bunch of robots, air quotes, to write Alan Wake's art style to mimic him? Basically just AI training.
Yeah, literally feeding it.
And the best part is when you find the drafts of the AI training, they have all these keywords they want to use, and the keywords are like, you know, dark, wet,
mystery,
like that. And my favorite ones are the ones like, the knife darkly darkened in a dark world as it stabbed forth into the darkness, but only through darkly lit darkness did the dark. It's so funny. It's amazing. And they have all these like failed versions, and it's just exactly what you would think it would be. Love it. Big fan.
Yeah. I mean, phenomenal game. Go play it, especially if you're a Chilluminati fan. Go fucking play Alan Wake. Go play Control.
Control is very
Control is
coded.
The Chilluminati game.
Yeah.
If you are like a hard gamer and you're ready to like go do like a fucking big ass game that is like the exact same itch, go for that one.
Being a hard gamer sounds like you're going to do like intense drugs. Like, yeah, I'm kind of a hard gamer.
I mean, sometimes.
Dude. The rough streets, back alley gaming.
Dude, have you ever played a fucking shmup, dog? That shit fucks your shit up. I played a shmup so hard, I went fucking cross-eyed, bro.
Damn. That's hard gaming.
Yeah, I'm gaming too hard, man. Forgot about my kids. I still
is
have.
Is there a YouTube channel called Hard Gaming?
There has to be.
Hard Game. I always game hard.
It's going to be about difficult games or about big booby games. And
I must stress, you are wrong on all accounts.
Wow.
It is a YouTube channel with no videos at all, except the logo is in Minecraft.
That's hard.
They went too hard. That's
pretty hard, dude.
That's exclusive, dude. That's like the black card of channels right there.
Yeah.
Disappointing to me. I'm sorry. Also, welcome back to the show, Krendor, for your, oh God, third or fourth
14th time now. Appearance.
14th yeah, appearance. 14th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much. It's good to be back. Love this show. Great program. Always said this is one of my favorite programs on the internet.
You've never listened to an episode. You've never, not even your own, have you?
I've listened to bits and pieces of episodes.
That you were in, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd say 80% were the ones I was in, just seeing how it sounded. There right, was right, like right. one or two. I would be like,
How did it sound? Like, how did it go? How did it sound? How did you feel about it?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
You know, you can hear all of us live December 20th in Chicago. However, that show is sold out. So
you already have a ticket you can. 1 month ago, suckers.
Yeah, it sold out in 3 weeks. That thing sold out.
People
fast.
Are messaging fast, me, dude. Asking me if there's more tickets somehow. There are not. I am so, so sorry.
We are
at capacity.
We'll be moving up to big arenas soon.
O2 we'll arena. Have Taylor Swift open for us.
Yeah.
Nice. Actually, that would be a great show. All of Taylor screaming fans, and then we come on the stage and we get to watch them empty out the arena. It's empty. We get to watch it happen.
You guys would be done. There's
no cross in between the two audiences?
Oh, there's gonna be like three people in the front row that are left after her show ends that are like, yeah. And you know what? We'll do it for them.
Well, I was gonna say, but let's be honest. For a Taylor Swift concert, front row seats like that probably would make a ton of money. Anyway,
oh no, they so filter from it. Way in the back and come down. As people left.
Oh yeah,
our audience would move forward.
No, we gotta get saxophone playing Sasquatch at some point.
Can I tell you? Someone reached out to me and said those dudes were looking to get in touch, and I said, please let them get in touch.
ChalupaNerdPod@gmail.com.
Who? Bicycle the band?
Yes, the band.
The Bicycle the band are trying to reach out to us.
That's what I heard. That's what was sent to me. So if you know them, I would love to do something with them.
We are on Instagram. Let them know we are on Instagram. That is the account they use. Just message us there. We are there. We are on there.
I will. I've not gotten or email chaluminatipod@gmail.com as well. Like
there is no better duo in town than the wham bam thank you ma'am slam of Bicycle the band opening for the Chaluminati podcast.
Just imagine. If this would have been connected earlier, think of the show that would have been Cox and Krendor followed by Bicycle followed. By Chaluminati, that would have been the greatest show ever in the history of shows.
Imagine we just do the episode, and then at the end, we like give the answer to the mystery, and then it's like, "Thank you, Bicycle the band," and then they just play for like 3 hours. the city shuts us down, and we all go to jail.
I don't want to go to jail. Chicago jail is probably scary.
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
I don't want to go to Chicago jail. I'm good. I don't want to go.
If we're gonna do jail time, we should do Norwegian jail time.
Yes, yes.
We'd be into some hard trouble in
Better
Norway.
Better than some of the apartments you pay $3,000 a month for in New York.
Yeah, I'd be excited about that.
Norwegian jail time is like Los Angeles apartment living.
It kind of is.
Probably got like a
you
sauna.
Actually get a lawn in Norwegian prison though instead.
Yeah.
So it's actually a little nicer than the apartments in LA. So
welcome to the Krendor episode, everybody. Where shit just we take it's up? A loose. So last episode, if you remember, we talked about the carnal rain. Of 1876, where meat fell.
The last Krendor episode.
The Krendor episode. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I remember.
But the whole plan was to go through that entire newspaper because there was some insane shit in there from what I remember. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to finish off where a debauched woman is labeled insane from incompetent medical care and a few other things like paying with coffins. A day in the life of 1876. Because I can't, I also don't remember what else is in there. But here's your link to the article we're going to be using today.
Wait, so today is a day in the life of...
What was it like on Tuesday, March 21st, 1876 in Massachusetts? What was going on in that time? We know carnal rain happened in Kentucky, But other things were happening around around the country at that time, and we're going to read and check out what those things fucking were.
Bless your sweet soul for being able to read any of this.
Can you imagine if they had TikTok back then?
What are you imagining that would be like?
The carnal, like, they just walk outside, like, guys, you will not believe this. It is raining meat. It is, just look at this. It is all over my hands. It is all of, guys, comment below if you just cannot believe what is going on right now. I'm gonna update this tomorrow. You're gonna see.
They'd collect that shit in a Slurpee cup and cook it.
No, it would be like the raining meat challenge of like, okay, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna eat it, oh, and then they eat it.
Eat that meat.
And then they die like 2 days later because they shouldn't have eaten the meat.
Yeah, it's a big mistake.
It's March 21st, it's 1876 here in the great United States of America. And you might be looking for a job at this time. Let's look at what the captain's report of this time says from these journalists about what some of the jobs might be like. For some time, past European steamships arriving at this port have failed to make reports of their casualties at sea to the press, under the belief that their publicity is prejudicial to travel. The steamship Lessing of the Hamburg lines, which left Hamburg on the first of the month and only arrived here on the 19th, lost 3 lifeboats, but failed to make any mention of the same to the press. So far, sounds like it's deadly and they refuse to talk about how many people die each one. Last bit says another line never mentions hurricanes or icebergs in its report. The captains of these vessels are not to be held responsible for these oversights, as they are instructed by their different companies to make no mention of the same to the press.
This is crazy because I used to read that comic series, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen by Alan Moore. And the whole thing was that he would like put ads in like these like sort of like penny dreadfuls and all these papers of the time to like shine a light, like almost like GTA does on like how society is today, right? And this is like this almost reads like satire. Like it almost is like almost like too perfect of an analog for the type of nonsense that goes on today.
But it's true. That's what was happening back then. And I love that they're like, well, don't hold the captains accountable. Their companies told them, don't tell the press how many people die all the time on this job, because nobody's coming to take the jobs because so many people keep dying.
It's actually like a pretty like legit viewpoint, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But I kind of would want, you know, honest, if I'm about to go take a job on a steamboat, I want to know how often people are dying and not being reported.
I mean, that's why there's regulatory bodies now.
Now, yeah.
Now. Not for now. Stuff would happen frequently. Yeah.
For now. For now.
The next one, turnabout is fair play. On the 27th of February, a young man named Frederick Duval of number 87.
I believe that was Ferdinand Duval, not Frederick.
Fuck, you're right. It's Ferdinand Duval. God. Thank you very much.
He was there.
And this is back. Yeah. Grendor is an immortal, dude. He's an eternal. Dude.
That was my great friend, year. Ferdinand. I don't know who the great hell Frederick year. Is. He earned that spot.
Krendor is like the eighth eternal. How many eternals are there, Alex?
Lots and lots. You don't even want to open this door. Trust me. There's okay, too many.
You know what? Just keep the door shut. I apologize.
There's a lot of history
asking.
With the Eternals and the Celestials. And we can spend all day talking about how cool Jack Kirby is, but no one's ever going to listen to me anyway. So what's the point? The point?
Yeah.
Icarus, I love you. I miss you.
It's valid. The man says Blackagar Baltigan is great. Listen, so like, what's the point? Why?
I try to avoid this happening. I try to avoid these wounds.
No, you didn't.
These wounds, please. These wounds. The wounds of enjoying a bad character is your own doing.
You've never read a single
I saw him blow up his own head in Multiverse of Madness, and that's all I need to know.
That's how most people saw him, too. His first real true appearance was blowing his own head up, dude. Blackagar Baltigan sucks. Sucks.
I want to blow my own head up right now.
Yeah, his name's Ferdinand.
thanks, Grendor.
No problem.
Thank you so much to today's sponsor, HelloFresh. And with HelloFresh, you know already that you're getting farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You want to know why you know it? Because I've been telling you about it for like 2 years, and I am still using it. In fact, I just had their cheeseburger meatball meal last night, and it was... I mean, it sounds delicious. It is delicious. And now we know the holiday season is around the corner and we're all looking for ways to spend less and stress less. Let me tell you, HelloFresh makes mealtime nearly hassle-free with those delicious home-delivered chef-crafted recipes that come together quick and are less expensive than takeout. And if you cook already, why don't you just step out of your recipe rut and make fun, flavorful meals without needing to hunt for specialty ingredients. And HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients mean less food waste. And I mean it, I genuinely finish my dinner every time and I am satisfyingly full. Plus, check out HelloFresh Market for over 100 add-on items like desserts, quick breakfasts, snacks, and so much more. This month, they even have Thanksgiving items to help wow a crowd with minimal effort on your part. Though it might be a little late for that. This sounds like something you want to check out and you still haven't checked out HelloFresh yet. You should now. And when you do so, you get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/freechill. That's applied across 7 boxes, new subscribers only, and it varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/freechill. Thank you again to HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. On the 27th of February, a young man named Ferdinand Duval of 87 Varick Street, because just back then, fuck it, just tell everybody where somebody lived.
How are they going to get there? No one's horseback. Yeah.
Like, was arrested on complaint of Emmanuel H. Shlomovitz of 1234 Broadway.
That's not real. Emmanuel H. Shlomovitz from 1234 Broadway Street?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's a fucking Dalek, bro. Call Doctor Who. That's fake. We found the Cybermen. Get him.
Oh, how is that his real name, real address? That's incredible.
The meat rain was a fucking alien thing. Let's get out of here. We found the villain.
Emmanuel H. Shlomovitz of number 1234 Broadway on charge of obtaining goods under false pretenses. The charge was that after purchasing some goods, Mr. Duval gave a check for $90 on the People's Bank in another name, that of Gustave Delaurier. Ferdinand Duval used a fake name on the check of Gustave Delaurier. Mr. Duval was incarcerated on the charge for 4 days, during which 4 examinations were held at the request of the complainant. And finally, Judge Morgan discharged Mr. Duval on the ground that no false pretenses existed at the time of the purchase of the goods, the check being perfectly sound and good, as was reported in the Herald at the time. On Saturday, Mr. Duval's counsel, Joseph H. Steiner, obtained a warrant from Judge McAdam of the Marine Court for Shlomovitz's arrest on a charge of false imprisonment and assault. The warrant was executed yesterday by Deputy Sheriff Nash, and Shlomovitz was lodged in Ludlow Street Jail in a default of $3,000 bail. The damages are laid at $5,000.
This man just reverse Uno, this guy?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yep, that's exactly what he did.
They said more like false neighborhood and disguise.
By the way, the amount of money is crazy. Because you see $90, you're like, oh yeah, whatever. But like, that's the equivalent of $2,168.
I was going to get, what's the $5,000 equivalent to? I'm curious, because that's what they said the damages were of him being falsely imprisoned for 4 days.
It is $120,000.
Wow. Holy shit. Fucking Jesus. That's insane.
Wait, I don't. So the original charge was he obtained goods under false pretense.
Yeah.
But after he just purchasing didn't. Some goods with a check that had in another, I don't understand what in another name in this case means. Did he try to pretend to be the other guy? Or did he just write a check under a different name?
Well, no, I think so. I think what Duval did was sign the check as Gustave Delaurier, like a fake name on the check for the $90. Which is neither of their names. He just made up a name.
But that didn't happen. Right. But
then the judge said that didn't happen there. That doesn't seem like that was the case. And then
so the other guy just made up a ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. That's all. Well, no, we just,
I'm not sure I understand.
Until we get time travel, unless Crendor was also there at the time. Crendor, do you know what happened?
I do, but I forgot.
Ferdinand, dude.
Yeah. It was a long
time. He was in on it. Are you kidding me?
1234 Broadway Street. Is just too ridiculous.
Emmanuel H. Shlomovitz of 1, 2, 3.
Krendor's name back then was in fact Gustave Delaurier. That's how he got around.
It's like sounds like from like an interview of with the vampire kind of like name.
This is exactly the right time.
Yeah, that's who Krendor is.
Yeah, the names are just a little too flowery for my taste.
Yeah,
I can't believe these are real people. The 1800s were crazy, dude.
I love the 1800s. Like it was just chaos with like the pretense of law.
Everyone was sick. Nobody had any vitamins. The clothes were really heavy. Everybody was just working their children to
random shit.
Yeah.
Crazy part, it wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah.
It feels like it's forever, but it wasn't.
It's really not.
They didn't even know what like germs were. They're just like, wash your hands. What if we just like cast a spell on them and they'll get rid of it?
Get that weird black shit on you again or whatever that shit is.
Yeah, they wear the plague mask. They're like, don't smell. I guess if you're smelling some things, it can make you sick. But they're just like, the smells, they're going to kill you. Although there's some people red today that probably also think that.
Yeah, there's still people today. I think that's exactly how it works. All right, next up, we got the Schnapper mystery.
This is exciting. I like the word mystery.
The authorities have been in a quandary as to what course to pursue with reference to the disposition of Charles Schnapper, the wealthy grocer who has been detained in Raymond Street Jail, Brooklyn, for 2 weeks, charged with forgery and suspected of murdering his wife.
Wait, he's not in jail because people think he murdered his wife? He's just in jail for another reason, and they also think he may have murdered his wife?
And suspected of. It says, like, those are the two reasons. Yeah, pretty much. He's like, he might have murdered his wife.
This guy, like, faked a check, but he also did murder.
Probably murdered his wife.
Probably.
We can't get him on it.
The complainant in the case is a lawyer who was counsel for the missing woman in a suit for divorce instituted about a year ago. He based his complaint upon information and belief. The information and belief were in quotes. Certain deeds for the transfer of property bearing an alleged fraudulent signature of Mrs. Schnapper were the groundwork of the forgery theory, but there has not been a participle of evidence unearthed by the police to indicate that the woman has been murdered. All that can be said is that her friends have not seen her since June, and they do not know where she is. Yesterday, the prisoner was arraigned before Justice Walsh, and pleaded not guilty, waiving examination to go before the grand jury. Those who have known the parties for a long time expressed the opinion that Mrs. Schnapper will come to the surface before long. So did he murder his wife, or did she just run away? And then...
That's the thing that's so crazy about this time period, is like, you could just hide. And people would be like, we don't know. We don't know where he is. We have no idea where he is. Alex is gone. He's just gone. He might be dead. We don't know. It's been 2 years.
Salem witch trials where they're just like, they're like a witch. They're like, can you prove it? They're like, I mean, you just know.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, can't you just feel the vibes? She vibes off. Yeah,
definitely witch.
This next little piece is called Paid with Coffins. Catherine Keating of Willow Street, Hoboken, brought a suit against Undertaker Marcus of the same place before Justice Monk for the sum of $25. $28 for board furnished him by her. The justice decided in favor, and yesterday an attachment was issued against the goods and chattels of the defendant and placed in the hands of Constable Lewis.
I already see where this is going. This is so dumb.
The goods captured by the said constable consisted of 9 coffins and an undertaker's wagon. The articles of death will be sold next Saturday unless previously redeemed.
He was like, Marcus the Undertaker was like, what do you want from me? I only have my coffins. I'm an Undertaker by trade.
She's like, I guess we're taking your coffins and we're going to fucking auction them off. All right. That leads us to the main article. This is a huge title. It's called Revolting Revelations, Cruelty and Vice Practiced in the Massachusetts Almhouse. Insane Women Debauched. Officials elope with female inmates and desert their families.
What?
A frightful record of death caused by loathsome confinement.
It's a fucking fuck?
A chaotic intro to this. This is Boston, March 20th, 1876. It seems almost incredible in this enlightened age, which I love, they'd considered 1876 the enlightened age.
Oh, yeah.
And in the boasted philanthropic and moral atmosphere of Massachusetts, that there should be permitted such a systemic series of cruelties, vices, and crimes as have recently been developed in connection with the management of the almshouse in Tewksbury. I know Tewksbury. Nice place. Tewksbury nowadays, anyway. I don't know what it was like in 1876.
I mean, it was probably...
How was it?
Probably worse.
Well, it was, you know, I mean, it was a different time. Number one.
Right, of course.
Would you, if you were like, it was a regular night in 1876, what would you be going, like, what do you go to Tewksbury for, Crendor? What do you go
I mean, it's a very philanthropic topic and moral atmosphere. So, you know, I mean, just imagine what you can do there in that type of atmosphere.
It'd be nice to, like, go reading there.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty nice place to read. Unless they were, like, you know, doing all the stuff we've read in all these articles.
I don't know. It sounds like a pretty good place. You know, it sounds nice.
Yeah.
The exposures have been secured mainly through the efforts of Frank B. Sanborn, chairman of the Board of State Charities. And the startling results of the investigation were made known by Mr. Sanborn today in an address which he delivered before an examining committee of the legislature, the institution, and its inmates. Before proceeding to give the gist of Mr. Sanborn's account of the sickening and revolting circumstances connected with its administration, I will explain that the institution is the largest of its kind in New England, containing an average upward of 1,000 inmates.
Holy shit.
Yes, fucking a lot of people. Many of these are insane, and very many more, afflicted with various diseases in various stages, and so reckless, indifferent, and incompetent has been the management during these last few years that the assured death of an inmate upon entering has been the rule rather than the exception. The average of deaths was 1 in 9.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, or 325 of the 2,849 who were admitted to the institution, and this in the absence of any contagious diseases. This wasn't like a disease.
Nobody got sick. This is just straight up deaths.
Yes. Mr. Sanborn, in his argument, charged the imprisonment of insane women for refusing to work, and the allegation was admitted by the officers in charge of the institution. Quote, the shocking circumstances were detailed to your committee until you voted to hear no more of them. It is certain that live women were so imprisoned in the autumn of 1874, two of them for more than 8 weeks, that they were allowed neither chair nor table nor bed in the daytime that they were. So they were imprisoned. Yeah, they were imprisoned for 8 weeks alive with nothing. They're just like, sounds like solitary confinement to a degree, in a weird way.
It sounds like that game, the horror, like Outlast. Sounds like Outlast.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Continues saying, waited upon wholly by men, that their cells were underground, dark, and unwholesome, that their food was bread and water, that three inspectors of the almshouse were individually and collectively ignorant of this abuse for at least 9 weeks, that the bylaws of the almshouse were both neglected and violated in this particular, and that two of the four women who remained at Tewksbury after this imprisonment died within 6 months from their release out of these cells.
Dude.
Yeah, it's fucking heinous. To all this, no denial was offered. But it was testified in defense that the superintendent, who alone has authority to imprison inmates, was also ignorant of what was going on. That the physician who introduced the practice did so medicinally and with good intentions, and that one of the five women who had somehow recovered her sanity, perhaps in her dungeon. So they're like, well, it worked. It worked, a couple times. So let's just keep throwing them in there and just.
It was testified that one of the five women got sane again.
Yes, whatever the fuck 20%. That even means. Yeah, yeah.
Even if we're like, yeah, they're sane and then crazy, and that's it, and it's 20% success rate. How does that track?
Exactly, it doesn't. Exactly. It also appeared that although the Board of Charities released these women on the 8th of December 1874. Informally ensured their imprisonment by a vote communicated to the inspectors early in January 1875, these inspectors did not discharge or punish the culpable physicians, but received from him on the 25th of March 1875 a long written defense of his course, signed both by the physician and the superintendent, and allowed him to resign about the 1st of May without putting on record so much as a vote of censure concerning him. Jesus. So like, even today, they were like, he just got to resign before anything bad happened to him. There was no punishment. He's like, you know what? Yeah, so I'm done. I'm
Man, just that never retire. Happens today.
Yeah, no, that
that's yeah. crazy.
Never, ever.
How much money did the president of Activision get when he finally left?
Too much.
More money than I will ever see in my life. More money than any of us, all four of us, will see in our lives
combined.
Yeah, combined. Yeah. Four lifetimes combined. From all that has appeared, it would seem that the superintendent, at least one of the inspectors, do not yet see much harm in what was done. Nor did they know until these hearings disclosed the fact that two of the women so imprisoned for the benefit of their health had died more than 9 months ago.
So they just
had
like
no
buried them.
Fucking idea. Like, Jesus. The terrible mortality. The facts alleged concerning the excessive mortality during May and June have all proved so far, as the number of deaths and the circumstances attending these deaths are concerned. It was attempted by the defense to show that neither the superintendent's daughter, who had actual charge of the hospital where these poor women died, nor anyone else was responsible for their death, which was described by several of the persons truly responsible, namely the assistant physician, her father, the superintendent, and the chairman of the board of inspectors, as, quote, natural, accidental, or providential.
Like it was supposed to happen by the will of God?
Yeah, God yeah, willed it.
Yes, that's exactly. Thank you. Yeah, that's a, yeah, sorry. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's all. They're like, hey, it wasn't our fault. This was just... And if it was our fault, accidents. And then
that'll
God
never happen ever again.
No, never.
That's good.
It did not clearly appear that either of these witnesses knew at the time that the mortality was excessive or ever took any precautions about it, such as would naturally have occurred to good physicians or well-informed officials. No consulting physician was called in, no post-mortem examination or inquest was held, and such records of the cases and prescriptions as once existed were destroyed, either thoughtlessly or purposefully. Of course they were. None of the witnesses for the defense were willing to swear that they knew that what the natural death rate among the chronic insane is. This is just, it's just, man, nothing has fucking changed. Like, literally nothing has changed. Yeah. Like, they destroyed the evidence and brought him to court, and they're just like, I don't know, no evidence. What are you going to do? We got nothing. You can't do anything to us. It's a little bit frustrating, just a little tiny bit. It has also been testified to with great clearness that the assistant physician at Tewksbury, Miss Marsh, had not sufficient experience to qualify her for the care of insane patients, nor such general attainments in her profession as would have secured her appointment as assistant physician at the Worcester Lunatic Hospital or elsewhere if the standard of qualification was a high one.
She was not qualified to work at the Lunatic Hospital.
In 1876. Let's be real. They didn't know it at the time, to be fair, but no one there was qualified to be working and attending these people in any possible way. Dr. Allen, in his testimony, left the impression, which you gentlemen will find to be correct, that unless her father had been superintendent, she never would have appointed and never would have been allowed the opportunity, which last spring proved to be so fatal to her patients. Doctor,
wait, so this is like a Nepo hire?
Was that a quote that you just read?
Nothing here I read is quoted.
This is just sassy.
This is Dr. Allen. Writing. No, this is just the member. If you remember, I mean, it's been a long time, but he was equally as sassy in the Carnal Rain shit too. If it was the same person, I'm not sure.
He was like, gents, the fellas know what I'm talking about when I say this bitch was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's being sassy. I'll read that again. Dr. Allen, in his testimony, left the impression, which you gentlemen will find to be correct, that unless her father had been a superintendent, she never would have appointed and never would have been allowed the opportunity, which last spring proved to be so fatal to her patients.
What an ancient and archaic mindset that is.
Very. Dr. Nichols testified positively to his opinion that these patients were, quote unquote, dosed too much. And Miss Marsh herself testifies that on the 12th of July last, Dr. Nichols told her she had given too much medicine. I wonder what the medicine was. What the
Morphine.
Hell is...
Oh, it was...
Probably cocaine. Straight cocaine.
Red shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably... it might have been like ketchup or something. It's like one of two things. You're like ketchup or like just some insane shit that's banned today.
Maybe it's like ketchup and mercury.
Yeah, in the 1800s, ketchup was made with cocaine.
That's fair enough. That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
The Heinz formula originally, and instead of vinegar, cocaine.
And it has to be called one of those old-timey names, too, like Dr. Schugenbachen's old-timey syrup. And you're like, oh, this has got to be good. And it's like,
for your French fries.
Tomato serum for catching up your spirit.
It's Dr. DeLaurier, dude.
Yeah,
Dr. Who would trust a Dr. DeLaurier? Without a doubt.
Says it's got methamphetamines, but those gotta work.
For your crisp European potato wedges.
Whole grain mustard with full bullet chunks.
She was so little acquainted with the past condition of her patients that she did not know that two of these 14 women who died under her care in 5 weeks were victims of outrageous imprisonment 6 months before that. These two were Julia Cobain, who died of diarrhea, and Catherine Walsh, who died of consumption, which is, if I remember correctly, like a horrible, like lung, like cough. It's right?
In the movies, when someone starts coughing up blood, they're like, "Isn't it tuberculosis?" Of the consumption.
Isn't it tuberculosis?
Is consumption tuberculosis? That makes sense.
I think so.
But look it up. Google.
No,
it.
Dude, it's the consumption.
Consumption.
I've come disease. Down with a bit of a consumption.
Yeah. Yeah, it's TB, tuberculosis. That's exactly correct. Oh, I'm just Red Dead Redemption 2.
Damn.
I leave you to judge whether their death was hastened by this imprisonment, which was itself.
I'm pretty sure death by diarrhea is a hastened death.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's got to be the worst way to go.
That's just dysentery. You just shit yourself until you shit your own intestines out. It's like liquefied already. And you just
Why you gotta describe it? Why you gotta
screaming painful death? It's not pleasant. It's just
right. Glad I ate my chicken kebabs already.
thank God.
I leave you to judge whether their death was hastened by this imprisonment, which was itself defended by Miss Marsh, superior physician. Dr. Whitaker, in a paper dated March 25th, 1875, and read at one of your hearings, the whole testimony goes to show that neither Dr. Whitaker nor Miss Marsh, had any competent acquaintance with insanity. I'm sorry. It sounds like the L to me. Insanity as affecting the physical health, and did not understand what it is that increases or diminishes the mortality of the insane. Basically, these fuckers don't know what they're doing, period.
At least it's equal.
Yeah. it is fully proved that there has been no such excessive mortality before or since as during Miss Marsh's control of the sick insane. And that for 4 months after the 8th of June, last fewer insane women died at Tewksbury than in the 5 weeks that Miss Marsh had charge of the hospital. These facts are undisputed. With better treatment and under a more skillful physician, fewer women would have died.
That's still crazy that it's like, under her care, so many women died. But since that time, fewer women have died.
Yeah, we can just measure the numbers.
Way less women have died.
Not nearly as many women died. Like, it was 14, now it's down to 8, which is substantially better.
They also, like, say the same thing, like, 3 times in a row in this article.
For those of you who are curious, because I was very curious, about Charles Schnapper, and what happened with that story, I went online and did a deep dive. I tried to find everything I could about Charles Schnapper. Let me tell you, nothing exists. Nothing.
Yeah, wow.
There is no follow-up. There will never be a follow-up as far as I can tell. This is the case of a missing woman, and I guess they just didn't care.
The friends were like, but the way they, at the end of the article where they're like, their friends say, because they know her, she'll turn up eventually. It sounds like she just runs off all the time.
How often do people disappear in the 1800s is the question.
I imagine frequently if no one cares. Although, I mean, admittedly, think back. I saw on Reddit the other day, and I thought this was really interesting. Some guy posted, hey, question for people who were from the 80s and 90s. Could you really just leave the house and, like, go out as a kid? And all the comments confirm what is true. Yeah. Like, your parents said, be home before dark, and that was it.
I remember just when I got permission at 11 years old to be able to ride my bike around the block and just go. And then I could just go ride to my friends because, you know, we all kind of went to the same school. And, like,
I walked
that
home
neighborhood,
every day.
I knew by the back of my hand by the time I was, like, 12, 13 years old. And it was just what we did.
Yeah.
I would frequently bike 2 towns over to go to the arcade/pizza place.
All the time.
That's 2 towns over. And my parents had no clue. The one time they found out, they were like, where were you? I was like, I was at the arcade eating a pizza, playing games. And they're like, no, are you on drugs? Where were you? Like, they couldn't believe that, that that's what I was doing during my free there, yeah. time when I was just not around them. I was yeah. like, our town is boring.
Yeah, same. Like, I remember I get permission to walk to school with my friends, you know, without my mom there, like 13 years old, which would, or no, it would have been younger than that. It would have been like probably like around the same time I could bike. And just being like, my friends would walk by every morning and wait for me. And just like, they would just go, no adults. You just walk. And it wasn't like a super short walk or anything, but yeah.
I remember when I lived in New York, there was a big hubbub about the fact that a bunch of people were letting their kids go to school on the subway alone. And they were like, we did that. And everyone else we know had did that. So why is it a big issue now? I think now they've cracked down on it, but it was like the early 2000s. They were just like, what? Why are you mad? He's 13. He can go to school. And they're like, don't you care? That kid can get kidnapped. She's like, what are you talking about?
I mean, like, yeah, it's weird. And then meanwhile in Japan, like 6-year-olds are like taking the trains by themselves.
Yeah.
No problemo.
That's yeah. crazy. Yeah. That's yeah. I remember that's been like that for a while too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, it's a different vibe. And I think, again, it goes back to the fact that everyone's like scared, even though consistently, statistically, crime has decreased year over year. Because, again, like Crandall was saying with mobile phones, it's because you see more of it. And so you're more like, oh, it's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Which it's all psychology.
Which I've experienced so viscerally. People just afraid because they've seen it.
Okay. Let's continue with the where we left off, vice and crime.
Oh, nice. I love that
Another of the charges made by Mr. Sanborn and not disproved related to the alleged criminal practices of night watchman Reed with inmate named Brink. The inmate named Brink. That's fucking sick. Mr. Sanborn said, I hardly think, gentlemen, that there was only all of you?
I hardly think, gentlemen, that there was one of you who heard Mr. Ridington's very convincing statement of the evidence against Reed who did not feel that the woman's story was true.
And indeed, Reed has practically confessed as much by fleeing from the almshouse and from the state and remaining absent, though invited by your committee to return. The testimony under the same charge and also showed clearly that the inspectors had taken no pain to stop the practice of sending a young man at night through the rooms where so many young inmate women were sleeping, a practice which, in this instance, seems to have been the occasion of the offense committed.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yes, this Reed guy's just going in and, like, having sex with the inmates?
Yeah, SA and the inmates? Jesus Christ.
What the shit?
Lax? Yeah, exactly. Proper response.
Is that what they mean by leaving their wives behind?
What's fascinating about this is it really is just a look at pre sort of governmental oversight on yeah. state-run institutions, things like that, which is weird because we've had that oversight for so long that we're at the point where people are like, we don't need that anymore. And it's like, bravo.
You don't understand.
Go back and read some old articles and you will very quickly understand why we do. Sausage has rubber
in it and an eyeball in it and you'll see.
Yeah. Next time you get a sausage and it's got like a finger, you let us know.
The same is to be said respecting another charge in the relation to the very lax discipline of the almshouse, supported as it has been by very copious testimony proving to be true. If the superintendent and inspectors had done their duty, the discipline of the almshouse could not have fallen into such a state as our witnesses have described, and the superintendent has virtually admitted. We have proved by the official records of the Board of Charities and of the almshouse that in 1874, a male inmate, Mark Cahoty, by name, gained admission to the female hospital at night and was about to commit an outrage upon Bridget Feehan, one of the patients, an offense for which, in parentheses, with other offenses, he is sentenced to the state workhouse. We proved that a similar attempt in another part of the almshouse was made last December by an inmate employed and trusted by the superintendent as a petty officer. They literally made an inmate a petty officer. What the fuck? Like, this is, again, regulations. This one inmate's like, you know what? He's not as crazy as, like, the rest of them.
Yeah, you're petty not, like, officer. That crazy, right? Like, you're good.
He's fine. We can trust him with some sort of responsibility among, you know, he won't try to break into the women's building and commit, like, heinous atrocities against them. Fantastic. It's crazy to me that they would, because we talked about in the 70s with John Wayne Gacy and like becoming super close friends with like the heads of the prison that he was in. And they gave him responsibilities of the kitchen and how much he got away with that still. But like to just be like, you're a petty officer. That's insane. You just like, I can't imagine.
This is one of those things that they teach to prison guards now. We don't have institutions anymore, but for criminal, for guards in prisons and even teachers to some extent, there's literal training to be like, look, in this setting, you're going to be with people frequently and you're going to form relationships with them. Here's the deal though. It is not smart to do that. Like it will happen. You will be like, oh, I like that person. They're a good person, but like,
it's going to put you in a bad position.
Don't do that, dude. There's a lot of prison workshopping that is super interesting when you look at it, where it's like, even if this inmate, guy, girl, whatever, is like the nicest person ever, you have no idea what's going on in their head. Do not fall for this. Like some of these people are like killers, dude. And so it's very interesting to see how, I mean, even then, because there is no one saying, don't do this. You have to imagine there's people's like, that's, you know what? He's a good guy. And because he's in the, he's here every day. We don't have to pay him. We can like make him in charge.
I think just not putting the inmates in charge of anything is probably just a good plan. Like it doesn't even come down to trust. Like just if the list of people is everyone in town and the guys that are also in the prison that you're in charge of.
The insane asylum prison.
Yeah. Maybe just. Go for the regular, like, maybe just go for, like, the regular old method of hiring somebody who works in the town to do the job who might be capable.
That's the part for me where I'm just like, did the common sense really not exist to not give, like, responsibilities to inmates? Like
I still mostly blame the guy who did the raping, of course.
But yeah, I think common sense-wise, it was, we look back and say that seems stupid. But I don't think that was the scenario here. I think the scenario here was we're getting money to house these people.
Oh, yeah.
And then who the hell cares how we handle it once they're inside?
It gets a little darker here a little bit. We proved that several bastard children have been begotten in the almshouse.
So polite, the wording in this.
I know, within the last 2 years, and that inmate women with much probability allege similar intercourse in other instances where children were not born. We proved that the sexes were allowed to mingle at Tewksbury under so little restriction that the offenses might easily occur, as in fact they have occurred.
Jesus Christ.
They were just letting like the male prisoners in and out.
If this exact article came out today, it would be like the most, it would be like the world would like turn their eyes to this.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think that's the case, but I feel like today is just like a deluge
it's
of like
a crap shoot
crazy.
Now. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. We offered testimony to show that one Ordway, an assistant farmer at the almshouse, an assistant farmer, okay, eloped last autumn with a female inmate and left the state desiring his wife and
deserting.
Children.
Deserting?
Oh, shit. Not desiring yet.
The opposite.
The complete opposite. Deserting his wife and children, who for some months were ignorant of his whereabouts. We proved that one Thompson, another employee of the at the almshouse, eloped with the town of Tewksbury with a girl much younger than himself and was arrested for abduction on complaint of the girl's mother, notwithstanding which scandal he was retained in his place by the superintendent. Jesus Christ. Like, these people just like take, like, kidnapping these women who were in the asylum.
And trying to marry them?
Eloping with them. What the fuck?
I'm also curious about the women being put in there, because this was the time period where it's
very true, actually.
This woman's crazy because she spoke out to me. Throw her in the
booby hatch.
Yeah. How many wives did you do that to, Krendor, back then? How many wives did you throw into the crazy house when you were done? How many?
You know, it was a moral atmosphere. Really moral atmosphere. It's right. Just that was a different place.
Yeah. He wasn't there.
No comment.
He wasn't there.
No comment.
That was the biggest long comment and no comment.
Guys, it was a different time. Don't question what I did back then.
It was different. Reality was just different.
I was a different man.
I didn't know.
Those Tewksbury people are crazy.
Yeah, man. Wow. call it Tewksbury.
That's why you don't go to Tewksbury. You just don't.
Yeah.
We proved that, you know, Crendor was the person that they ran to do the marriage. Crendor was the one that was like ordained.
Crendor was the reverend?
Yeah, no. he was the reverend.
Reverend Gustav?
In no lifetime reverend would Gustav Crendor ever be the reverend.
Crendor wouldn't, but Gustav de Lorraine, he could
right,
do anything.
Right, you're correct.
He could do anything. With a little shawl and a mustache, Gustav. He could be anyone. Yeah,
he could be anyone.
For a few minutes.
Yeah, he'd be anybody for a few minutes.
We proved that the superintendent and assistant superintendent were at variance about a matter of discipline. The assistant superintendent, who was a son of the superintendent, it's family all the way down running this place, undertaking to prevent one of the officers from voting the Democratic ticket as the state election of 1874 and actually preventing him while the superintendent told the officer he might vote for whom he pleased. We have proved, in fact, just such a state of discipline as might naturally be expected where an old man fond of his family and surrounded by his children and grandchildren like an oriental patriarch.
What the fuck?
Holy shit. Listen, I didn't write it. I'm just reading the article. That's all there is. Fucking Christ.
Just taking swipes left and right.
Do you remember in the Carnal Rain one, there was the Irish drinks too much, like, jab?
In this case, at least it's, like, kind of a compliment. It's still a stereotype.
Yeah, it's still a racist stereotype.
What's weird about it is it's literally saying that much like, and this is crazy, it's like, basically, he put his children and grandchildren in charge of important things. So basically, the end of this is, this guy kept putting people who had no business being in their position. Right.
No, he's saying that he's running the insane asylum like a Chinese.
One of the craziest statements I've ever read.
The Oriental Patriarch comment just stopped us dead, but it goes on to say, surrounded by his children and grandchildren like an Oriental Patriarch, has had the weakness to appoint his whole family to important offices in a public institution. Yeah. It's racist as fuck. Yeah. Like, it's bad. As Crendor would say, it was different morality. It was a different time.
It's a moral atmosphere. Philanthropic. Very philanthropic.
Beautiful there.
Yeah.
So basically, this guy's calling out nepotism, but doing it in a way that is like very racist.
Yes. Insinuating that nepotism only exists like that for
Of course, yeah. Like the emperors of old. Yeah.
That wouldn't happen for like, I don't know, like a high political power.
Yeah, that would never happen.
This next paragraph is titled, "Can this thing be stopped?" And this brings me to the point concerning which I ask your careful consideration. And if legislation will avail anything, your aid in preventing by law a serious evil. It is scandalous, gentlemen, that a public officer, however well-meaning, should be allowed to surround himself in a great public establishment with so many of his own offspring and kindred drawing salaries, living at the expense of the taxpayers, and forming a clan or ring that manage matters as they please.
Huh.
It's a weird echo. I don't want to,
No. It's 2024, gentlemen. Everything is fine. We're doing great.
Anywhere else. Nowhere else. It is well enough and often unavoidable to allow a superintendent or other public officer to employ a single relative. Generally, it would be his wife in a position of trust. But beyond that, the law should forbid him to go if those who appoint or confirm appointments have not discretion enough to prevent this nepotism.
A little nepotism, of course. To be expected. Everybody's entitled to a little nepotism. But this is too much. This is like the Chinese mafia of nepotism.
We see at Washington what mischief it has done on a great scale. God, man. Yeah. We see at Tewksbury how mischievous it can be in a petty way. If your investigation leads to nothing more than the prevention of such nepotism in Massachusetts, you will not have wasted the time spent on the inquiry.
This guy's got a good head on his shoulders.
If it wasn't a little racist.
Ignoring the racism. The interesting thing about this is that when you look at this style of news reporting versus kind of modern day news reporting.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of dig a reporter who's like, yeah, like I am accusing you and I have the evidence. And if the cops, like cops, do your damn job.
Yeah.
Like we don't get that much anymore. We get reports that are like, here is what happened. And that is it. Or
bullet
worse,
introduced unfairly to child's skull. Like, you know, like,
Did the bullet have a reason?
Yeah. Or it's curious, or it's like the ones Crendor and I read, which are like, insane asylum story is crazy. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then they'd make all the reference, like the, you'll be out of your mind after reading this story. I was curious who the president was in Washington at the time. In 1870, whatever, it was Ulysses S. Grant.
That's right. Damn. Yeah.
So Ulysses S. Grant, incredible general, terrible president.
Terrible president. Died a homeless man.
One decade after the Civil War at this point. Because this is 1876, so 1865 it ended?
1877 was Grant's final year of presidency.
Right. Civil War ended in 1865, or?
I couldn't tell you.
I used to be a U.S. history major.
I know the basic time period when it ended, and that is correct.
Probably we had like a former history teacher here to tell us.
1865, yes. It went from 1861 to 1865, so we're literally like 10 years, it's like 11 years out. From the Civil War.
Going back
point.
To what
like,
Jesse said, the next section is literally called "Oh Shame, Massachusetts."
Yes, isn't it? Fantastic.
I love that. There's, you know, it's just a guy going at him like you are. This is like, what is
why
this
people
nonsense?
Thought they were cool? Yeah,
yeah.
Ulysses Grant signed in the 8-hour workday for federal employees.
Interestingly enough, the Republican ticket at the time for 1876 was Rutherford B. Hayes.
Ooh.
And you're probably saying, who's that, Jesse? Well, it's Rutherford B. Hayes. Not much actually happened. Although, it did kind of ruin all of the gains in the South that were made during Reconstruction. They kind of shut that down.
What happened to people named Rutherford?
Probably Rutherford B. Hayes.
There's got to be at least one like person named Rutherford in the world right now, right?
Quickenings, they go around and they collect all the other Rutherfords by cutting off their heads.
Yeah.
And then all the windows.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Massachusetts. Oh, shame, Massachusetts. But I also call your attention, gentlemen of the committee, to the more serious and distressing fact that here in Massachusetts, in our largest public establishment for the poor and unfortunate, there have been detected and corrected within 2 years and a half some of the worst abuses that can exist in such establishments. For the discovery, condemnation, and repression of these events, as the sworn testimony before you has shown, the Board of State Charities alone is responsible. For the existence of the abuses, the superintendent is an all-pervading family, the inspectors who neglected nothing, and the governors and legislators that allowed them to remain in office are slowly and jointly responsible. The worst of these abuses, the illegal imprisonment of insane women, was reported by me to the chairman of your committee about a year ago after the Board of Charities had removed it, but before the avowed author of the abuse had been allowed to leave the almshouse uncensured by its authorities. Other evils have been reported from time to time by members of the Board of Charities to the executive of the Commonwealth, to the Board of Inspectors, and to other responsible officials. Dr. Howe complained to Governor Washburn of the wretched sanitary stricture and condition of the hospitals. Dr. Allen discovered the secret imprisonment of the insane and called it to be given up. I myself put a stop to the shocking mortality among the insane women last summer by insisting that the faithful old physician, infirm from age but skillful in his profession, should supersede the daughter of the superintendent in the charge of these poor individuals.
So it was the guy who wrote this article who got involved and made the change.
He was like heavily involved.
Spider-Man.
Which is kind of cool. I wonder if he was more than just like a journalist.
He was a superhero. A masked vigilante. Yeah.
a masked vigilante. The general agent, Mr. Wrightington, probed the iniquity of the night watchman Reed and sent him fleeing from Massachusetts. If the discipline of the almshouse is now better than at any time since 1872, as I believe it is, The improvement is due absolutely to the members of the Board of Charities, individually and collectively, who have lost no opportunity since the revelations of 1873 and 1874 to purge and improve the state almshouse. They have done their duty, gentlemen. It remains for you and for others in official station to do theirs. And that duty will not be fully discharged until the administration of Tewksbury has been radically changed. The guy was heavily involved in everything, and seems like he was working on it for two straight years before this article that he wrote for it.
Flippant racist comment. Yeah.
I
don't see any name associated with this.
That's true.
None of these articles have a name on
it. It's a masked, man.
Interesting. I wonder if it's all the same author.
No way.
I don't think so.
New York Herald? No way. It's all the same author.
That's fair. Yeah, I wonder.
Plus, this guy said he was in Washington. Yeah, I don't see a name. Interesting.
At the top, I don't know if it means like who found it. Do you see at the top where it says Old Fulton NY Postcards by Tom Trinisky? It's got to be the person who found this. Why don't we wrap up with a small one? Maybe a little bit less disturbing than what we just went through. But now we know that's what medicine used to be like. And without regulations, maybe like again.
That wasn't just medicine. That was like...
Nepotism.
That was everything. It was
corruption in like government. It was everything.
That was Chinatown.
The next little thing is just called Southern Evangelization. At the Newark Methodist Preachers Meeting yesterday afternoon, Reverend Dr. Lee of Georgia spoke at some length of the ignorance of the whites and blacks in the South of their need of religious instruction. And of the efforts being made by Roman Catholics. That's what I am. That's what I was raised as, Roman Catholic. We're like the weird, culty, magical version of Christianity. A lot of rituals kind of stuff to bring them into the Romish church, all of which he urged were reasons why the work of the Methodists should be increased. At present, the work is not well supported. And if interest is not now taken, many of those engaged in labor will have to desist for want of means. For what it's worth, Roman Catholicism spread like wildfire in New England, so it eventually did like catch. It's very much like the predominant, it was a predominant religion, still very heavily out there.
Yeah. So what's the difference between Catholic and Roman Catholic then?
I want to believe it's just like...
I feel like it's that's it. I feel like there's just like
guilt.
Yeah, there's
I feel like Roman Catholics are Catholics. Well, that's what Catholics are.
Yeah, but like, you know, guilt. You know, like a lot of
say Catholicism.
I was raised Catholic, probably because the same reason that they said Oriental Patriarch, just like some kind of weird fucking old timey way of saying it.
The term Roman Catholic is used to differentiate members of the Catholic Church who are in communion with the Pope and use the Roman Rite from other Catholics. Whatever.
So they're like super Catholics.
Yeah, more or less. We're the magical ones. Catholics, like,
I see.
The Bible says, like, you know, no, you know, don't worship anybody else besides me. But Catholics have like saints, you know, that each have like domains that they watch over. And like, if you lose something, you pray to a saint that like looks over like finding lost things. That's like what Catholics, like,
basically
are.
Catholicism is the business that modern day Christianity wishes it could be.
Okay. No. So Catholics are Catholics, but there's Roman Catholics are all the Roman Rite Catholics. There's also Maronite Catholics and Ukrainian Catholics and Chaldean Catholics.
Sure.
Which
makes sense.
I don't think almost anyone in America is thinking of when they say Catholics. I think almost everyone in America is thinking of Roman Catholics when they say Catholics.
I would disagree. I would say most Americans, when they think Catholic, they think Irish Catholic.
That's Roman Catholic.
Right. But I mean, like, they don't think like a bump and a pizza. They think like, I'm just saying,
this is the same one though. It's just because they're in, you know, New York or Boston. Like, it's like,
understood. But they're not thinking Rome. They're thinking like Boston.
For sure. That's what was like, all my priests were Irish growing up. Like, every priest of mine was Irish. Like, yeah, that's very
true. I was raised Lutheran. So it was all
Methodist,
about like,
so I get it.
Yeah, they're just like, dude, these Catholics are idiots. Saints, those aren't real.
Oh, dude, shit.
Their newest Catholic saint is from a few years ago. He's an influencer. He's the first influencer saint. His body is in the Church of Saints. You can go at it. And people went and prayed to him. In order to be considered a saint, to be ordained a saint, miracles have to happen.
That miracles, right.
And he had two miracles happen. One cancer.
What were these miracles?
One cancer was like cured after they prayed to him after like they were diagnosed, and I can't remember what the other one is.
A camera kept its battery for 4 days and four nights.
He kept streaming even after he died.
Even after he was dead, the stream kept going.
Him and like two other saints from way older times are like in a building where their body's in like a glass coffin, and he's still wearing his like branded jacket. Like it's kind of just like, it's like dystopian to me.
I always thought the concept of miracles was weird.
Oh, for
because
sure.
Like a miracle is like, wow, this thing was supposed to go one way and then it went a different. But that means that like God's plan, which is like all knowing, all powerful, he works in mysterious ways, so you don't really know. Like maybe he's killing this person for a reason that's mysterious. But for some reason, some dude being like, I'm going to do a miracle, that like made you change God's perfect plan.
I feel like it's like in Tony Hawk when they do the yellow score tricks. Like a miracle is just like, whoa, you thought that shit was going to be fucking different, but God, it's still God's plan. But that was
probably
tight,
why,
right?
Because that's probably why I prayed to God to be like Spider-Man or a Power Ranger, because like I was raised in the miracles and
right,
like all that
shit. But then
when
that didn't happen, what'd you do?
I went right to Satan.
Right, okay.
I bargained my soul with Satan. Did that happen?
No.
Nope, it didn't work either. I thought I was going to one-up Satan because I was like, I'll just do so much good in the world as a Power Ranger.
That's not how the rules work.
Well, I tried.
I remember going back and reading some of the Bible stories. Some of them are like creepy.
Dude, the Bible is filled with wild shit. Angels falling from heaven and like fucking like farmers' daughters and shit.
Nah,
it's wild.
That's all trash. Revelations is where it's at.
Dude, Revelations is sick.
Dragons.
Revelations is whores, so sick.
Heavy metal ballad, like battle.
Multi-headed beasts crawling out of like the awesome. From like hell. It's fucking
pure
crazy.
Comic bookery.
For me,
great.
The most insane one was just Adam and Eve. Because if you read Adam and Eve, it's like they're just like these new people. They don't know what's going on. You just like got created for the first time. You're walking around and then he's like, don't eat that apple, even though I know you're going to eat it because I know everything and I put it there. And it's like, and then it's the like the tree of knowledge. Like he doesn't want you to have knowledge. And then they eat it and then they're just like, oh God, and they're hiding. And he comes down like he doesn't just like sit up in heaven like, hey,
he's like,
what's up,
God?
Like he comes
hell?
Down to the garden. And he's walking around like it's like a horror game. He's like walking around like, where are you guys? Hello. And they're just like, don't say anything. And he's like, I know you did. Come on out. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Literally. Very, very vengeful in the Old Testament. And just a lot of toxic relationship gaslighting, like murder your son, murder your son.
JK.
And then like the JK. Father goes through the torment of like, am I going to murder my son? He finally does. And right when he goes to stab his son, God's like, hey. You don't need to kill your son. I'm like, you traumatized that man forever.
That was ice cold,
like,
dog. Good shit.
Son, him,
like, good shit. I knew we were tight. I was ice cold.
I'm going to put your son in charge of this insane asylum.
I remember this.
No, I remember this. He made his own son in charge of Earth. Like, it's pure nepotism.
Nepotism.
And on that, everybody. Grandor, thank you for joining us on today's episode.
Hey, no problem.
I'm ready for a biblical scholar to like absolutely destroy the last 5 minutes. Like, these idiots are so
But Grandor was alive during that time.
I was alive. Yeah, I was walking around.
Grandor
the garden.
Was in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
It was Adam, Eve, and Gustav.
Gustav. Yeah. He's the Assassin's Creed guy. He's the Assassin's Creed guy, yeah. He's in the back.
Have you seen this fruit? It looks delicious.
He like flew away and jumped off.
I don't think you need that. And Gustav over here was like, I'm just saying, it's right there.
So you're trying to say is like Eve, like the rib from Eve was taken and she saw Adam. She was like, nah, she just like took another rib and made a Grandor and was like,
yeah, she needed a friend to talk to. Yeah.
That's probably like, I feel like scholars, they're like, that's like a metaphor for how God took ribs out of the earth and created the world and our image of God's image of Roman Catholicism.
Is this what Gustav was taught back then?
This is what everybody was taught. Yeah. This classic education.
He just went to school. Yeah, he just went to school. Yeah.
Yeah.
He simply
don't forget,
went to
God
school.
Gets tired, though. He had to take the seventh day off because creating things as an omnipotent ever creature is exhausting.
The thing is, like, I don't even blame him. But it's like you can't just say you're like you don't get tired and then talk about how you're tired.
Here's
like I'd
thing.
Rather just be like, hey, I get tired, all right?
He'd
be like,
hey, could he have enough. Could he have done it? Yeah. But like there's something to be said for, you know, a nice little tuna melt when you put in a little work, satisfying, feels good. It's a reminder.
Yeah.
You think God smokes?
Weed?
Yeah, weed.
I think he is.
Is weed.
Oh,
thank you.
What?
That makes so much sense. I need to pray. I need to pray real quick.
This is the episode that gets. This is the one that's gonna blow up.
Patreon.com.
We're gonna get a bunch of messages about how like we've lost our way.
It's not weed, you assholes.
That's it. We're done.
How dare you, God? It's not weed.
I don't know. That tasted like God to me. I feel a lot better.
I so desperately want to get, like, if there is someone who's going to get upset, please come at us and be like, God's not weed.
No, God's if God was, weed. Let's be honest.
Just, not weed. Take it back.
I would say, no, Jesus is weed. God is mushrooms.
Jesus is love. God is weed.
Listen, someone's always going to get upset about everything. All right. No matter what your stance is.
Yeah, you're right.
Bean Boy's new slogan, God is weed.
Do you piss people off on your stream all the time? Speaking of, where can people find your stream when you're going to piss people off?
Well, I would say first, go listen to the Cox and Crendor podcast. Yeah. Great podcast. Oh, yeah. YouTube.com/Cox and Crendor podcast. That's a place where we'll be doing a live show along with this live show that we've already talked about that doesn't matter because we're sold out. So there's really no reason to even talk about it.
If you're there, you're there.
If you're there, you're there. Twitch TV Crendor, YouTube Crendor. I make Pointless Top 10, World of Warcraft. I play games with RNG on stream.
Thank you, Crendor.
Hey, thanks.
I'm sure we'll see you on this show again at some point in the future.
Yeah, maybe your like
government mandated. Yeah, give government mandated like appearance as that comes around.
Yeah, that's all the podcasts I ever go on. I'm like, it's like my random appearance. I go on like all the like it used to be the co-optional. Now I show up on the Geekenders.
I was gonna say as soon as Geekenders start, it's just immediate. I was like, it makes sense, right? Because Geekenders almost spiritual successor in some ways to. Co-optional, Crendor already had a seat carved out for him to crawl into.
Yeah, whenever I'm on Geekenders, it just becomes Cox and Crendor with Dodger. Like, it just breaks down into that, even if it doesn't start as that.
And that makes sense. Jesse allows it. He could stop it at any time.
He can't.
It's so much fun!
Yeah.
So happy to be here!
We'll be back. Larry David.
Bingo!
We're off to go to a minisode at patreon.com/Illuminati Pod. We'll be back next week with another guest, another returning guest. We'll be back next week. Thank you all so much. We appreciate you. We love you.
Bye.
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 Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.